Do please sit down. Let me begin with some relevant Bible sayings. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, I'd like to welcome you to this service this morning. It's a clear indication of how much Ron was loved and respected by so many, that so many have wanted to be here this morning. So whether you're here in the chapel, or if you're in the hall looking at the screens, or if you're listening at home on the Forest Fold website, we do welcome you to this service. A special welcome to the children, many of whom are in the hall. The thought would have delighted Ron that so many were coming to this service. So a big welcome to them. If any parents of younger children need to take them out at any point in the service, then do look for a steward who will direct you to a place where it's relayed. Well, we want to pass on our sympathy to you as a family, to a very big family. Ron's passing is not unexpected, but it still leaves a very big gap in your lives, and we hope that God will comfort you at this time. We want to remember and give thanks to God for Ron and his life, and we shall do that. But Ron himself would very much have wanted a Bible-based message about Jesus and what he has done. So that too will very much be part of our time together this morning. Well, Jesus meant a lot to Ron. He was not a distant figure of history, not a mere religious person to be legalistically worshipped. He was a living, loving Saviour. And that's reflected in our first hymn that we're going to sing together, the hymn, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds. And after the hymn, Ron's son David Bishop will read a family tribute. So our first hymn, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds in a Believer's Ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. Please stand to sing our first hymn. Thank you.
This is not going to be easy, but thank you all so much for coming today, for your love and your support for us, a family. It's lovely just to see so many of you here. He was dad to us, gramps to the great, grand and great grandchildren, and so many here, probably under about 60, he was known as Uncle Ron. So many of you have shared with us your love and esteem for him. One friend wrote, "Uncle Ron was a very special person, not least the kindness he showed to all and sundry. Nothing was ever too much trouble. However busy he was, he always made time for others." Before Dad moved to Millwood House, he had a wonderful team of carers. I think nearly all of them here today. And one of them wrote, "I will remember with fondness and a big smile many of his little ways. The big welcome when I arrived, the twinkling eye and the quick wit, the countless inventions and ways of fixing something, and specific ways of doing things. We started each visit with a chat and did his Bible reading together. These were times of great blessing to me, and I will always treasure his words of wisdom and his care and concern and his great love for the Lord, which bubbled over in praise, even through the hard times." When Dad was 18 years old, World War II was in progress, and he was called to serve his country for 3 years. He was trained as a wireless operator in various parts of the UK, including the Isle of Man, and he became skilled in Morse code. He sailed with the Royal Navy on an aircraft delivery carrier. He went through the Panama and around the Pacific Ocean, as many tales we've heard. This time was anxious for his family at home, especially for his younger sisters who adored him. But this time away cemented his love for both the Lord and for Doris, his sweetheart, who soon after his return became his precious wife. We were brought up in a loving family with united and caring parents. Dad was very supportive of Mum, and Mum was very patient with Dad. Dad was a great encourager to us children, and throughout his life always took a great interest in whatever we were doing. He helped us with various projects so patiently, always having the right component that he kept it, because it would come in useful someday. This ability was also evident in the church handicraft group that he ran for many years. He was always sympathetic if we hurt ourselves or were sick in the night. Mum dealt with us in the day. He took time off work for our birthday parties, making them exciting and memorable. And in the early days, the highlight would be taking our friends home in the side box of his motorbike. Occasionally, he would take some of us to watch a Sussex County cricket match. At least he could sit and read his Bible while we watched. Dad and Mum loved to be with people and enjoyed entertaining in our home. Whether it was a Sunday tea or singing after the evening service, everyone was made to feel very welcome. Now, Dad was almost always late home for his meals. We remember Mum getting quite exasperated at his non-appearance. Don't forget, there was a time, not that long ago, when mobile phones and instant communications were just not possible. His lateness, however, was often because of his desire to get just one more job done or encourage just one more person on their way. But when we think back to our childhood, memories of Dad are not of long summer walks in the wood or endless games, but of working in his allotment, growing food for their family, and on wet and cold winter evenings, visiting various folk within Crowborough, stoking up boilers, getting in coal, and generally being helpful and cheery. It was this God-given desire to help others that remained with Dad all his life, and it was the basis of his business life as well. Business growth and diversification often from requests such as this. Ron, I need this or that done. Can you help me? Dad would often agree, and after getting the go-ahead, would then work out how to do it and borrow, hire or buy the equipment needed, and afterwards advertise that service to others. Dad was not an extravagant person, and Mum and Dad were always quite careful and generous to others. But he did like to have good equipment and tools to do the job well and efficiently. A trait passed down to at least my line of the family. I remember the expensive purchase of one of the very first portable electronic calculators with a stylus and a wire attached. Mum used it for quite a while working out the wages and accounts. But she always double-checked the results in her head. His enjoyment of tools continued through his life, with his last acquisition being a new iPhone when he moved into Millwood House. I think you will have already realised that Dad was a man of action and activity. And we as children always had to be doing something. Making things, mending things, helping others has been a big part of Dad's life. And in more recent years, he really enjoyed going to his den and making toys for many of you great-grandchildren. Now, who recognises this? Eh? You recognise this, kids? This is the original. This was mine when I was a little boy, so you can tell how old it is. But Dad then copied it, and he made many models for many of you. And I think there are lots of those around. And I'll leave it out here so that you can have a go on it later. Sunday, of course, was a special day for Dad. His love for the Lord and the church here at Forest Fold was a vital part of his life. When we were children, it started on Saturday evening with baths for all and a very long row of shoes that Dad carefully polished. And then on Sunday morning, it was down here for most of the day. When we were older, Dad would often be at the front desk giving out the hymns and for many years ran the Sunday school at 5 Ashdown on Sunday afternoon, collecting many children in his minibus on the way. And we're thankful to see some of those children here today, still remembering Dad's work there. His love for God's people was not confined to Crowborough. And in their retirement years, Mum and Dad made many visits to Romania, supporting the ministry and the churches in the Crucial Valley. We're so pleased that our friend Brother George and Zarika are able to be with us here today. To get everything he wanted done, he had to be organised. And in his own way, special way, he was. He was able to organise and motivate others in the task at hand. And if Dad needed something done, he would ask you to do it ever so nicely. But if it wasn't done soon, you would hear about it. Again, nicely, but quite firmly. Dad had his to-do lists. And even in his very last days, when we were visiting him in Millwood, there would be lists of jobs for all of us that just must be done. Dad had from time to time been on various pilgrim home committees, including some time on the main London head office committee, and was very much involved in the society's decision in the early 70s to purchase Millwood House. And he actually took part in the opening service. Both Mum and Dad, however, were very resistant to the idea of they themselves living in a pilgrim home. And I can hear them now. There'd be nothing for us to do, dear. Couldn't put up with all that sitting around. However, toward the end of November last year, Dad graciously realised that his ability to do things had come to an end. And both he and us as a family were so grateful for the love and the kind care he received in Millwood House until his very last day. I don't think anything about Uncle Ron could be said without mentioning the tuck shop. All visitors to Queensbury were given tuck. They included the doctors and the dentist and the postman and anyone that came in. To remember this, In the car park when you leave, you'll see Uncle Ron's last tuck shop. And we'd love you all to take something before you go. There was some diabetic and gluten-free available as well. Now, we all know how much Gramps loved children. His grand and great-grandchildren and all the children here at Forest Fold were very special to him. And he loved to tell you all about Jesus when he had the opportunity. He especially wanted you children to come today. And it was his request that it was to be on a Saturday so that you could all come without missing school. Ever thoughtful to the last, dear old Dad. Although perhaps some of you might not agree with that missing school bit. And this is why we have chosen now to sing a children's chorus. We'll all sing the words that Gramps or Uncle Ron would have wanted each of you children, and indeed each one of us here today, to take both into our hearts and our life. Thank you. So stand to sing. Thank you, Will.
Sit down. And now Paul Philpott's going to lead us in prayer, and then afterward Ron's daughter Elizabeth's going to read from the Bible for us. Thank you.
Our loving Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that so many have come this morning to honour the memory and mourn the loss of a dear friend and leader. But Lord, first of all, we want to pray for the family, those who have lost a brother, a father, a grandfather, and a great-grandfather. Lord, we pray that you will be their comfort, that you will give them strong consolation, that you will be a father and a brother to them. Lord, we do just pray for your rich blessing upon each and every one of them. And Lord, we come today as a church family, and we want to give you thanks for all that Ron meant to us, for all that he was. We thank you for him as an elder of this church, and as such, scriptures tell us to give him double honour, and we do that willingly, because he gave everything he had for the life of his church, because he loved the Lord of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he served so faithfully in this role. Lord, we praise you for all that we have heard. And Lord, we want to thank you for the zeal that Ron had. We thank you, Lord, that he followed Paul's admonition to do everything heartily as to the Lord. We thank you that he was always abounding in the work of the Lord. And we thank you that he did that to the end of his days, that even in Millwood House, when he was so poorly, so weak that he could hardly speak, and yet he was still witnessing to staff and visitors alike about the Lord he loved. And so he bore fruit in his old age. Lord, we thank you for that zeal. We thank you for his strength and endurance. Lord, we remember the time when Pastor Dells died, and there was a 7-year interregnum before Mr. Rowell arrived. And we thank you that Ron led the church through those difficult times with great courage and holding things together, and his love and concern for all, his pastoral oversight. Oh Lord, we thank you for all these things. And we thank you, Lord, that he had the courage to challenge us. Lord, we thank you that he challenged unbelievers as to where they really stood. We thank you that he challenged believers to be more urgent in their service of their Lord. And Lord, we had to take that word, because he led by example. He led from the front, and we're so thankful for that. Lord, we're thankful that he had the courage to rebuke us when we needed it. And he did it in love. We're thankful for these leadership qualities that are so important in a church. Lord, we thank you for his love. Lord, we've heard from Dave about his immense love for all. We've heard about his service to the elderly through the pilgrim homes. We remember his commitment Sunday after Sunday, driving down to Five Ash Down, taking children with him and meeting children there and serving them for years along with Steve Sharp. Well, we thank you for that. We thank you for his love and concern and commitment to us in between us. Lord, for all his encouragements. And we thank you, Lord, that he was keen to develop any gifts or skills he saw, and to make sure that everyone in the church had a role. There were no passengers when Ron was around, and we're thankful for that example. Lord, we thank you that he didn't just have an interest in the local church, but as we've heard from Dave, he had an interest, and more than an interest, a very practical service for the churches in the Crișul Valley in Romania. We thank you for his spiritual counsel for them. And we thank you that he was so willing to go out with supplies and to get his sleeves rolled up with the building program of their churches, and how he was so useful in those projects. Lord, we could say so much more, but we read in Revelation of those who go to be with you and their works do follow them. Lord, we believe that Ron's works follow him and his prayers, and we thank you for those. That was a big part of his life, to pray for us all, and he made that clear that he was watching over us with prayer. Lord, we thank you for all his work, but Lord, underpinning all that work, we know, was his knowledge that he was redeemed. Lord, that was his strength. The joy of the Lord was his strength, because he was redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. He knew that he was utterly unworthy of anything. And yet, because you died for him on the cross, that he and all his sins were forgiven. And Lord, we thank you that that was what fired all his service for you. And so, Lord, we thank you that he has now run the race, that he has fought a good fight, that he has received that crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, gives to all those that love his appearing. We thank you that he has heard those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We thank you, Lord, that he serves you now, that he has gone to that place which you said you would go to prepare for your people, that he has received that inheritance that Peter speaks of, reserved in heaven for him. So, Lord, we do thank you that although we grieve, we sorrow. We do not sorrow as others who have no hope. Lord, we are thankful that he is blissfully happy now, that he is more alive than he ever was at his fittest in his earthly life. And Lord, we do just want to thank you for your gentle, perhaps strong reminders this week, that as we learnt on Wednesday, the young may die, and today that the old must die. O Lord God, we do pray that we may heed this warning and that we may be prepared for that great and certain event. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm going to read first from Job chapter 19, verse 25. "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me." And now from 1 Peter chapter 1. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honour at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Well, the next hymn ties in really well with the verse that the family have put on the front of the service sheet, which will come up in the address. I know that my Redeemer lives. The first verse reads, I know that my Redeemer lives. What joy this blessed assurance gives. He lives, who once was dead. He lives, my everlasting head. Shall we stand to sing this hymn? Well, Ron said many things over many years about Jesus and what he had done for him. But one of the phrases that he'd often say to people with a big smile on his face was, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. Perhaps you heard him say that. So it's being redeemed that I want to be the theme for this address. Now, it's an unusual word that you don't often hear. I don't suppose it's mentioned much in the coffee shops, in the playground, or while waiting for a train. Being redeemed means simply rescued at a cost. Being rescued at a cost. Being brought to a safe place, but at a price. In the old days, if somebody was in misery as a slave and someone came to pay the owner money to set them free, then they were redeemed, rescued at a price. And the one who paid the price was the Redeemer. Well, that's what Jesus was to Ron, his Redeemer. Ron and Doris had up in their living room the verse we have on our service sheet. I know that my Redeemer lives. It became special to him in the Navy. when the ship went back to Newcastle for a refit, Ron went to the chapel there on the Sunday, and he said that the speaker had a voice like a foghorn. Well, he couldn't remember much of what he said, but he was struck by this that he quoted, "I know that my Redeemer lives." And it was special to him from then on. Well, they're great words to be able to say. It's a great thing if you can say something similar. Or it will be a great thing if soon you got to the point of being able to say something similar. I know that my Redeemer lives. Well, this morning I'd like to say four things about being redeemed. They're all backed up from the Bible. And with each I want to weave in some things about Ron. And for each I hope it will give us some things to think about for ourselves. Well, firstly, redeemed from sin. The Bible makes clear that there's something that we need to be redeemed from. Rescued, saved from. We need to be redeemed from sin. Ron realised he needed to be redeemed from that. Ron had not always been the upright, godly, loving man that most of us knew him to be. In his heart, he was very aware of his failings throughout his life, but especially of not loving God as he should in his early years. The Bible in 1 Peter chapter 1 talks about being redeemed from our futile ways. In Titus 2, it talks about being redeemed from lawlessness. That is, not wanting to keep God's law, not wanting to have him as leader of our lives. Well, sadly, we haven't always done what God wants. We don't always do what's good for others. I know it's true of me, and was especially true of me for many years. Ron knew for his early life that he couldn't say he was a person who served God. Well, the Bible says that God in his justice must deal with our guilt. It deserves to be punished. And Ron came to realise this, and he wanted forgiveness. He wanted God's mercy. A hymn that he would often choose was one that was amazed by God's mercy. It goes, "Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of my song, the joy of my heart and the boast of my tongue. Thy free grace alone from the first to the last has won my affections and bound my soul fast." Well, one of the things, key things that God used to challenge Ron about his position before God was when he was in the Isle of Man in the Navy training. And he went to the church on Sunday. The man at the door was a warm-hearted man, but he was more forthright than Ron had been used to. And he said to Ron, "Are you saved?" Well, Ron was a bit taken aback. "I hope so," he replied. And the other man carried on, "You hope so? Don't you know so?" And God used that bold question to make him think. Well, it is strange for us to think of someone being bold to Ron with questions. Ever since, it's been the other way round. And I guess a good number of us here this morning have been asked questions by Ron about the Christian faith, and maybe you felt a little bit uncomfortable. But a lot of it came from this episode. Someone spoke to him boldly with a question, and it was part of the pathway of being redeemed. So out of love, he wanted to do the same for others. So maybe on this occasion, we might allow ourselves to be asked that question perhaps once more. Are you saved? Do you know so? Well, there's a little about being redeemed from sin. Then next, redeemed by Jesus. You may be asking, how is it that I can be forgiven? How is it that I can have peace with God? How is it that I can be right with him and feel secure in his love? Well, it is by Jesus. He is the Redeemer. And especially by what he did in his death on the cross. 1 Peter 1 carries on that we are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. In a letter to the Galatian Christians, Paul says that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law or its guilt by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. I listened to an old tape last week of Ron giving an account of his life to young people. He gave that many years ago, and in it he quoted this hymn. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to save my soul from danger interposed his precious blood. Well, it's all by God's free grace through the death of Jesus. In him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the Bible says, the forgiveness of sins. So it is by Jesus being a sacrifice for others, out of love taking their punishment on himself, that he redeemed his people, those who trust in him. I came across an email which Ron wrote to a Scottish friend about 18 months ago. And in it he lists 9 blessings that he was rejoicing in at the time. I'll just mention the introduction and 1. My dear, I have every reason to rejoice. 1, that I belong to the family of God, having been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Because Jesus dying for him, to forgive him, meant so much to him, it meant communion times at the church here were special. And last year he said to me, after one of them, don't forget to tell them when I'm gone about the depth of God's riches and the certainty of it. Well, there you are. I'm telling you, the depth of God's riches and the certainty of it. Well, perhaps deep down you are unsettled in life. Maybe you feel a long way from God. You're not right with your maker and your judge. Well, like Ron, let me point you to the answer. It is by trusting in Jesus and what he did on the cross that there is rescue, full forgiveness, a welcome back. Jesus is the Redeemer. Well, coming to know forgiveness and peace through Jesus should have an effect on our lives. So we come on thirdly to redeemed for this life. Redeemed for this life. Being saved and rescued should make a difference. In the Bible, Titus 2:14 talks of Jesus who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. So being changed by God's grace, some things go out, an old way of life changes with his help and new things come in. Instead, we are zealous for good works. We're not saved by good works, but after we are saved, there should be good works that follow on. And I think, don't you, that Ron was a tremendous example of a person being zealous for good works. In fact, one of the best examples, if not the best example, that I've come across in life of being zealous for good works. As some of those have come out already, and I won't repeat all of them. But here are just a few I wanted to highlight. practical kindness. We've heard that he was a practical man. He wanted to do things. Knowing the kindness of God, he wanted to show kindness to others. And this was shown by him and Doris in countless ways. Acts of practical neighbourliness, family care, taking interest, giving advice, doing things, contributing financially, constantly being hospitable, taking an interest in others in a genuine way and doing what he could to help. And this was often quiet and humble. I remember on our wedding day, a good few years ago now, there was dog's mess on an area of the grass down there where the photos were going to be taken. So guess who it was who quietly cleared up the mess without telling anyone? A humble, practical servant. I heard of another person who became a Christian partly because he saw Ron clearing out the dirty gutter at the church, even though he was head deacon, and in those days a head deacon might well expect others to do such work. Ron never got past feeling the phrase in the psalm, "I am your servant." Practical kindness. But there was also support for church leaders. He was an immense help to church leaders, ministers, pastors. At one point in his life, he wondered if he himself would be called into some form of ministry, preaching, pastoral role. But he concluded that that wasn't what the Lord wanted him to do. And he felt instead that he should support and encourage those who were. And he certainly did that. He loved greatly a long-serving pastor here at Forest Fold called Stanley Delves. Then after that, God made him a real brick of faithful, diligent support to Peter Rowe in his 24 years of pastorate here. So many times I experienced his encouragement and his calls and comments. In fact, at one stage there, looking to be supportive to both the previous pastor and the new pastor, both Peter and I at 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning got a phone call from Ron, well, one after the other, obviously, a phone call from Ron to give us some encouragement for the day ahead. Support for church leaders. There was also the era of encouragement. Like Barnabas in the Bible, Ron was a great encourager, always on the lookout to encourage. And many sitting here this morning, and many listening on the live link, will be thinking of the times that Ron has spoken to them, emailed them, phoned them to encourage them. He had old friends that he emailed regularly and was in contact with regularly. But it wasn't just confined to old friends. He often phoned students who had come from here. You don't often get a much older person phoning people in their late teens on a campus and asking how they're doing. It was unusual. It was thoughtful. It was plucky, kind. It was encouraging. Leads to another, love for children. It's worth saying again. Now, Jesus had a pure, wholesome love for children. He didn't want them overlooked or forgotten. He wanted them noticed and encouraged and blessed. And Ron copied that love of the Saviour for children, which is why so many loved him in return. And then there was commitment to the life of the church. Ron loved the church here at Forest Fold. He wanted to be at all the services, probably sometimes against the doctor's advice. He served as a deacon for over 40 years. He loved the people and the work. It was so central to his life that at one point in his life, his own personal diary was the Forest Fold diary, just adding personal bits where appropriate. He was coming here to the services until a few months ago, and his influence on people throughout those years was great. Regularity, concern, his prayers, and we shall miss him. And being linked with a Bible-based loving church is an excellent thing for life. hearing God's word, worshipping with others, serving, a great thing for individuals, a great thing for families. I'm sure Ron would encourage others to follow in that direction. So he was zealous for good works, redeemed for this life. And it makes us think, doesn't it? We are very prone to be taken up with ourselves, our own comfort, what suits us. Maybe this morning helps us to have another think. Perhaps it's those areas of practical kindness, support for leaders, love for children, commitment to church life, encouragement. But God hasn't made us all like Ron. He was exceptional. If he was the standard, we'd all probably feel crushed. But we all have our different gifts, experiences, opportunities, our own money and time. And maybe this morning stirs us afresh to think, yes, if I have a redeemer, I want to be useful in this life. That is what I'm redeemed for. Finally, redeemed for the next life. Redeemed from sin, redeemed by Jesus, redeemed for this life, redeemed for the next life. The Bible says that believers are redeemed, saved, not just for this life, but have a future. One of the great scenes in the Bible of heaven, in the book of Revelation, it talks about those who have been redeemed. It says elsewhere that we have an eternal redemption. One experience which stayed on Ron's mind was back in the days when he was window cleaning. And he was doing so on Crowborough High Street. He was cleaning the windows of a shop, which is now a dry cleaners, but was then a restaurant. And one of the tables had a reserve sign on the table for an important guest. They were expected to be there and their place was ready. It was reserved. Well, Ron has taken his place. It made him think of what was ahead for Christians in those verses that we had read for us. An inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, reserved in heaven for you. And Ron has taken his place, which God in mercy has made for him. In recent months, he'd said to some of the children, quite a few of them I expect, one day you will hear it said that Uncle Ron has died. He said, don't you believe it? I shall be more alive than I've ever been. The thought of this encouraged him immensely during his illness. I must tell you about this. In the last few weeks when he couldn't speak much, he wrote a note that was to pass to the doctor who was going to come to visit him. And on it, it started with this, my light affliction or my light troubles, my light suffering. And he listed underneath about 10 different symptoms that he wanted the doctor to know about. Tender forelegs, short breath, no speech, difficulty in swallowing, etc., etc. And then he had a big but underlined. And it was followed by, but my God is so kind and gracious. My future is so secure. Well, I don't suppose too many doctors have received a note like that. He was ready to go. He was looking forward to go to be with his Saviour. He knew his Redeemer was alive and he was looking forward to be with him. Well, there is hardly, is there, anything better in this life than to have a well-grounded confidence in facing death. Well, because of Jesus' death and resurrection, Ron had that. And he started to enjoy that. Can I ask you if you have a confidence like this? A future like this? Is your trust in the same Redeemer as Ron's? If so, you too can be in such a secure position facing the end of life. Well, knowing I was going to take the address at his funeral, the last time I went to see Ron, I told him what I was going to talk about, being redeemed and the Redeemer. He didn't have the strength to speak, but when I told him what my subject was, he gave me the thumbs up. So we have his approval for what we've been thinking of this morning. And I came home after that visit surprised to find an email. It was from Ron. He couldn't speak, but he could type on his iPad. He'd sent a follow-on message. Let me quote it. "Thanks, dear John. Don't forget, it is, capitals, the Redeemer himself that is so special. Love, Ron." And that's where we will finish. It's the Redeemer himself who is so special. Well, we come to the last hymn for inside this service. This last hymn was special to Ron at many times and conveys the certainty he felt because of what Jesus had done for him. Do remain standing at the end of the hymn. "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." Before I close in prayer, there's just a couple of practical announcements that I need to mention. The burial is going to take place in the graveyard behind, and all are welcome and encouraged to come out. The family will follow the coffin out of these double doors, but it would be best if everyone else in the chapel went down through the main doors around the Sunday school hall at the bottom up to the graveyard. Those in the Sunday school hall will be directed by the stewards. There are a lot of us, so it will be best to proceed up the graveyard so that we don't have too much of a bottleneck at the bottom. Please do take your service sheet with you, as we do have a hymn, a verse that we're going to sing at the graveside. The words of the burial will also be relayed into here and the Sunday school hall for those who can't get out. All are welcome to join the family for refreshments afterwards at Barnesgate Manor, just outside Crowborough, on the way to Uckfield. The postcode is on the order of service. And a collection is being made in support of Millwood House, Pilgrim Homes, and that can be placed in the boxes at the rear. Well, shall we pray? Oh Lord, we have lost somebody special, and we thought of that at this time with thankfulness. We thank you that we've also heard from your word, words which are good for us to think about, and words which have pointed to Jesus. And we most of all give thanks for Jesus, the Redeemer, who is so special. Do be with us now as we go to the graveside, especially strengthen and comfort the family. May they recall that Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." We pray in his name. Amen. Amen.